W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
Your hometown news talk and sports station is locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Liberty Mutual Insurance.
I'm Monica Ricks in New York. Severe storms out in Northern California are already being blamed for at least two deaths, and some people who live there are being told to get out.
We're just going to get out of the way, let nature do its thing, and we'll be back tomorrow.
That man's in Montecito, where mudslides killed 23 people back in 2018, and there could be more there today. Nancy Ward is director of California's Office of Emergency Services.
We anticipate that this may be one of the most challenging and impactful series of storms to touch down in California in the last 5 years.
So people are doing everything they can to get ready.
Now we're just preparing to be safe. Got batteries, water. I'm actually preparing myself with the generator. I had to go get some gasoline and just in case.
These storms already caused widespread floods and knocked out power to about 200,000 customers. Pope Francis is leading Pope Benedict's funeral now at the Vatican, where thousands have gathered to pay their respects. CBS's Tina Kraus reports from Rome.
In a packed St. Peter's Square, the body of Pope Benedict was carried before crowds in a traditional cypress wood coffin. Among the tens of thousands gathered in the shadow of St. Peter's Basilica, more than 100 cardinals, 400 bishops, and nearly 4,000 priests from all over the world.
The former pontiff requested a simple funeral before he died last week at the age of 95.
Only Italy and Benedict's native Germany sent official delegations for the mass.
Still no speaker in the House after six rounds of failed votes by Republicans. CBS's Scott McFarland has the latest now from Washington.
Key McCarthy allies, Dan Crenshaw of Texas and Dan Webster of Florida, they didn't just exude pessimism, they were oozing pessimism coming off that sixth vote. Congressman Webster says there is no indication of what he's seen so far. Through two marathon days, anything is going to change the fortunes for the better for Kevin McCarthy.
Voting starts up again later today. President Biden plans to address border security issues today and check out conditions for himself soon.
President Biden says he intends to visit the U.S.-Mexico border when he travels next week to the North American Leaders Summit in Mexico City. It would mark Biden's first visit to the border since he took office. With a migrant crisis and an immigration system, White House officials acknowledge is broken.
That's CBS's Dan Lieberman reporting. The man accused of killing four University of Idaho students is back in Idaho now and could make his first appearance in court later today. Brian Koberger's return also means sealed documents on the case will be released soon. He was arrested last week in Pennsylvania and did not fight extradition. This is CBS News.
Nobody should have to pay for one-size-fits-all insurance coverage. Liberty Mutual customizes your car and home insurance so you only pay for what you need. Liberty Mutual Insurance.
Attention all business owners who rent or lease space, including storage space. Stop wasting your money paying someone else for your space. You can now save a ton of money and own your own building with the incredible end-of-the-year sale prices from General Steel. That's right, start saving money every month on renting space from others. Just call 888-74-STEEL to see how General Steel can help you save money. Our 50-year structural warranty buildings are custom designed for your needs and save you a ton of money. Call 888-74-STEEL.
Take it from a successful entrepreneur. If you need to expand or start a new business, you need General Steel.
Great team and the competitive pricing is the reason I went with General Steel.
Call 888-74-STEEL now, and you can get any of our popular quick construction structures, including a 40-by-60-foot building or a 50-by-100 clear span building at end-of-the-year savings. Call 888-74-STEEL. That's 888-747-8335. 888-74-STEEL.
Here's to Wisconsin winter traditions, celebrated year after year.
Hey, check this out.
To lighting up a frosty night with fireworks at Fish Creek Winterfest. Here's to cheering 8,000 skiers across the finish line at the American Birkebeiner in Hayward. And to snow sculpting magic at Winterfest in Lake Geneva. Plan your winter getaway at TravelWisconsin.com. Sponsored by Travel Wisconsin.
Olivia, from Washington. Laid off and trying to keep our little kids from realizing that mommy and daddy haven't eaten in a while.
Roger,
from California. I'm grateful we could afford our son's surgery. I'm nervous that now we can't really afford food.
Daniel from California, choosing whether to pay the rent or pay to fix the car to get to work doesn't leave us with much at all. Now we can't even pay for meals.
Donna from Louisiana. The storm just hit, and we went from donating to the food bank to needing it.
Keisha from South Carolina. I've been skipping meals so my two kids can eat, but filling up on water doesn't really work.
Hunger is a story we can end. End it at feedingamerica.org. Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Snow likely today, otherwise cloudy. Highs level off around 32, northerly winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Chance for snow again tonight, lows level off around 15, cloudy skies expected. High temperatures reach up to 23. Tomorrow, a blend of clouds and sun. About an inch of snow today. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 30.
From Wisconsin Rapids to Stevens Point, your news, talk, and sports is 97.5 FM, locally grown radio.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
Welcome back to the third hour of our program. The voting is continuing now on the fifth ballot. And once again, Mr. Donalds has now six votes. Kevin McCarthy, 35. Jeffries, 47. But six votes means no Kevin. Lauren Boebert just gave a little speech in the House talking about how just because Donald Trump says we should vote for Kevin doesn't mean we should do it. And there were literally gasps in the House. Republicans going, oh, can't believe she said that. She's going all in on the crazy, I guess. I wanted to talk with you in this hour about two things. The first being Putin's red lines, and the second being Pete Buttigieg and what the future of neoliberalism is. Let me get to Putin's red lines first. Nigel Gould Davies wrote an op-ed in the New York Times on the first of the year, January 1st. It was a guest essay. It was titled "Putin Has No Red Lines." And if you're not familiar with Nigel Gould Davies, he's a senior fellow for Russia and Eurasia at the International Institute for Strategic Studies. He's a well-respected, highly regarded international policy expert. And he starts out by asking, you know, what are Putin's red lines in terms of this war in Ukraine? What can we do that will provoke a response from him that we would not want? Like using nuclear weapons. And he then immediately says, that's the wrong question to ask. And he says, in fact, we shouldn't even be thinking in terms of red lines because there's pretty much no such thing. First off, red lines are negotiating tools. They are not lines drawn in the sand or whatever. In fact, the phrase he uses is red lines are actually more often red herrings. During the Cuban Missile Crisis, and he mentions this, Khrushchev said, you know, if you try to stop us from putting our missiles in Cuba, since you've got missiles in Turkey, you've got missiles right on our border, we have a right to have missiles on your border. If you try to stop us from putting missiles in Cuba, we'll start a nuclear war over this. We will attack you. And John Kennedy called him up and said, cool. You will be destroying yourself. But if that's what you want to do, we're here. We're ready for it. We're not going to let you put those missiles in Cuba. And Khrushchev backed down because it wasn't really a red line. It was a bluff. When Barack Obama, when he was president, and he said if the Russians or the Syrians use chemical weapons against their own people, against the Syrian people, that would be a red line that would provoke a quote, enormous consequences, was the phrase that Obama used. And then, sure enough, the Russians and the Syrians used poison gas against Syrian civilians, and we did nothing. We didn't respond. when we said that if the Taliban gets back into Kabul, if they try to take part of Kabul, that will be, you know, that'll provoke a huge response. And yet suddenly it wasn't a red line for us anymore. So he says, in truth, red lines are nearly always soft, variable, and contingent. He says the second flaw of red line orthodoxy is that you have to take into account both the costs of escalation and the benefits. And then he notes, and there are, you know, the benefit to ending the war in Ukraine is substantial to the world. I mean, literally, people are starving around the world right now because Ukrainian food, Ukraine is the breadbasket of the world, and with regard to wheat, that food is not being exported, or much of it is not being exported. So what do we do? Well, he's saying that, you know, our concerns about Russian red lines, I'll just quote, he says, concerns about Russia's red lines are driven, above all, by the fear that Russia might resort to nuclear escalation. The West should avoid this, should avert this, by deterring Russia rather than by restraining itself or pressuring Ukraine to be restrained. And also, we should be communicating to Russia the certainty of severe consequences should they use nuclear weapons. And those consequences would not be nuclear retaliation. Those consequences would be economic, that we would basically destroy their country economically. He says the West should now aim to persuade Mr. Putin that withdrawing his forces from Ukraine is less perilous than fighting. He will be likely to do so if he understands that a long war threatens his regime by fatally weakening domestic cohesion or by escalating out of control. And, you know, he makes the point that the one thing that Putin wants is for his regime to survive, right? So he notes America should focus on three things. First, he says it should no longer declare that there are measures it will refrain from taking and weapon systems it will not provide to Ukraine. He says to signal unilateral restraint is to make an unforced concession. Worse, it emboldens Russia to probe for and try to impose further limits on U.S. action, making the war more, not less, risky. Second, he says, with its partners, America must make it clear that time is working against Russia, not in its favor, as Putin apparently believes. And third, he says, the West should make clear to a wide range of Russian audiences that it is safe to end the war by leaving Ukraine. An orderly withdrawal is unlikely to lead to regime change, let alone the breakup of Russia. Neither outcome is the official goal of Western policy. I read this and I thought, oh my God, this guy, you know, I'm no expert on military strategy or foreign policy, but this makes so much sense to just say, no, you know, you cannot attack another democracy. Yes, I get it that, you know, you believe that they are actually your property and you own them, but you can't do that. And yes, I get it that we've been hypocrites and we've done the exact same thing ourselves in the past, but we're not doing that now. And we're not going to let you do this with a democracy. Seems like a good start. So that's number one. The second thing I wanted to share with you, and then I'll pick up your phone calls here. I have been pondering this since I started about a year and a half ago. I started writing my last book, I think it's the seventh or eighth book in the series, The Hidden History of Neoliberalism, How Reaganism Gutted America and How to Restore Its Greatness. And I think this is one of the most important books I've ever written. And in this book, my new book on neoliberalism, The Hidden History of Neoliberalism, I lay out how neoliberalism came about in the United States, how it was embraced by the Republican Party, how, you know, by Ronald Reagan in 1981, how it then became to be embraced by the Democratic Party in 1992 by Bill Clinton, and the damage that it has done in those 40 years to this country. And how, and I wrap the book up, and I also talk about how, you know, we imposed neoliberalism on Russia and, you know, it brought us Putin. We imposed neoliberalism on Chile, it brought us Pinochet. You know, et cetera, the damage it's done around the world, and how China rejected neoliberalism in the early 90s when they had an opportunity to embrace it, they said, no, we're going to do the opposite. We're going to go with Alexander Hamilton's American plan, only we're going to do a Chinese version of it. And thus, they became the second largest economy in the world. But the question in my mind has been, and I talk about this in the last chapter of The Hidden History of Neoliberalism, is when is the Democratic Party going to fully repudiate neoliberalism? Neoliberalism being that political economic model that says that free markets are everything, therefore corporations should be free or even incentivized to move their manufacturing offshore. You know, Donald Trump, his $1.7 trillion tax cut included a provision that said that if an American manufacturer moved a factory to Mexico, they got a tax break for doing that. You know, in other words, this, you know, Trump, of course, was a neoliberal. This is the essence of neoliberalism, is, you know, so-called free trade, gutting the social safety net, all these things that are basically historically Reaganism and neoliberalism are the same thing. And so my question, and the question I've been asking myself, and we've been talking about on this program now for several years, is when will the Democratic Party kind of more or less officially repudiate neoliberalism? And I just wanted to share with you a quote from Pete Buttigieg. I mentioned this yesterday, I didn't have the quote, that in my mind, and I realize, you know, David Sirota over at The Lever is just trash-talking Buttigieg like there's no tomorrow, accusing him of still being a neoliberal. And notwithstanding that, and I get that, and I don't disagree that Buttigieg should have done a whole lot more with the airlines than he did early on, and probably should be doing more with them right now than he is. But nonetheless, this is a quote from Pete Buttigieg that I think is fascinating. And this is recent. This is from a piece in The Guardian, an interview that The Guardian conducted on December 31st, or they published it on December 31st. He said, and I quote, "The beginning of the Reagan era brought about a vicious cycle of public trust, where resources were stripped away from the government. It became harder for government to deliver for people, and then those policy failures reduced trust in government, which made people more reluctant to trust their taxpayer dollars to government, which meant even fewer resources and even worse results. The cycle of disinvestment has been accumulating for essentially my entire lifetime, and part of what's so exciting about this moment is a chance to reestablish public trust by making big investments to get big results, to build public confidence in the things we can do together through good public policy and good public investment." End of quote. That sounds to me like Buttigieg declaring, if not the end of neoliberalism, at least that he and his friends and you know, people in the Democratic Party are figuring its time has passed. It's time to phase this stuff out. So what say you? What do you think about this? By the way, the vote is continuing to, you know, and Daniels again has gotten more votes than... Yeah, he's up to 11. Thank you, Nate. Up to 11 votes. So here we go. You know, McCarthy's in trouble still.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
Ted Lieu went to the floor of the House yesterday with a bag of popcorn. You know, the congressman from California. It was the perfect metaphor. We'll be right back.
Do you have a car sitting around you want to get rid of? Then here's a great idea. Donate your car and help veterans and their families. Yes, one fast call to the Veteran Car Donation Program and we'll come and remove your car for free. Fast, free towing, and 24-hour response. You can donate most cars, trucks, or SUVs in most conditions. The proceeds raised goes to help active military, veterans, and their families, and you get a tax deduction. All you need to do is make this free call. Get rid of that old car and help the vets. We make it easy. Make this free call now and book your fast and easy pickup. Call the Veteran Donation Program now. Donate your car and help veterans and their families. Operators are standing by. Here's the number.
800-880-5013. 800-880-5013. 800-880-5013. That's 800-880-5013.
Hey friends, Tom Hartman here to tell you about my brand new book. It's called The Tom Hartman Reader. Tom Hartman Reader is unlike any of my other books. It's a collection of my best and most revealing writings that I think you need to know. Tom Hartman Reader covers everything from my fierce commitment to Jeffersonian democracy to my steadfast opposition to the corporatization of America. Also, it more clearly identifies the root cause of so many of our social and environmental ills. The Tom Hartman Reader will give you essential information and explore solutions to questions like, how do we keep our schools from treating children like assembly line products? Why is it that attention deficit disorder is not an affliction? Or what cloudy Germany can teach us about solar energy? And much, much more. Not only will you gain vital substance on a wide range of topics in the book, but the Tom Hartman Reader will inspire you to action. It's time to educate ourselves on the world around us, why it got this way, and the corrective actions we all need to take. The Tom Hartman Reader, available in fine bookstores everywhere and on our website at tomhartman.com. Makes a great gift, too. Inspiration, insight, and action. The Tom Hartman Reader.
Did you know that Americans have elected 8 animals to political office? I realize all politicians are animals, and arguably all humans are animals, but these are non-human animals who have been elected to political office. It's absolutely fascinating. There's Stubbs the cat, who was the mayor of Talkeetna, Alaska. Most of them, by the way, have been elected mayors. Clay Henry the goat, he was the mayor of Lajitas, Texas. Max the dog was the mayor of Idlewild, California. In Milton, Washington, they didn't go for the mayor. They got a committee person, a committeeman. That's Boston Curtis the mule. And Boscow the dog became the mayor of Sunol, California. Jinx the cat, this is one of the very best. Jinx the cat was the mayor of Hell, Michigan. Isn't it nice to get away from politics every now and then, or sort of? Lincoln the goat was the mayor of Fairhaven, Vermont. And there was even a rhinoceros who was on the Sao Paulo City Council. The whole list is over at tomhartman.com. Check it out.
If something's wrong with your computer, you reboot it. You restore it back to where it needs to be. Today, our country is headed down the wrong track, overwhelmed with joblessness, declining wages, and corporations deciding our elections, for starters. This is not the Founding Fathers' vision. It's time we rebooted something bigger than our computers. It's time we rebooted the American dream. We must restore the thriving, prosperous days we once had. And my new book, Rebooting the American Dream, explains exactly what we need to do. Bringing our jobs and manufacturing home, rolling back the Reagan tax cuts, ending corporate personhood, and educating our electorate are part of the simple 11-step plan in rebooting the American dream that we can start today to rebuild our country. Check out Rebooting the American Dream in bookstores everywhere and online at tomhartman.com. We can recover the American dream we lost 30 years ago to Reaganomics and the Reagan-Bush-Clinton-Bush era. We're all in this together. Please check out Rebooting the American Dream by yours truly, Tom Hartman, in bookstores everywhere and online at tomhartman.com.
Change starts with you. You can be calling your Democratic or Republican representatives to let them know what you think by calling 202-224-3121. It's the Capitol switchboard. It'll get you right through to them. Hey, are you looking for a quiet, relaxing summer vacation to the quaint seaside villages and historic harbors of New England? Then let me introduce you to American Cruise Lines. Aboard their new fleet of small cruise ships, you will be transported to popular destinations like Martha's Vineyard, Nantucket, and Newport. In addition, this remarkable cruise will explore the scenic rivers and intimate ports along Maine's protected coastlines. You'll marvel at the granite mountains of Acadia National Park, admire the classic schooners in Camden Harbor, and best of all, you'll be treated to an authentic and not to mention delicious lobster bake on the shores of Maine. And here in Oregon, there is an American Cruise Line that runs down the Columbia River. I see it on the river often, and it's just a beautiful little river boat cruise ship. Throughout this all-inclusive journey, you can relax on your private balcony, breathing in the ocean air and taking in the sights as the crew provides the highest level of personalized service. So get your free cruise guide today at AmericanCruiseLines.com. That's AmericanCruiseLines.com. Welcome back. 23 minutes past the hour, picking up your calls. David in San Francisco. Hey, David, what's on your mind today?
Oh, hi, Tom. Yeah, a couple of different things. I was interested in the January 6th, but as you've been talking about economic policy, there's, specie was supposed to be this idea You know, you got fiat currencies and you got specie. And gold is specie and fiat is kind of like the education level of an entire nation.
Right. Specie is currency that also has intrinsic value. And fiat currency is currency that does not have intrinsic value. If my recollection of high school civics is correct. Correct me if I'm wrong, David.
Well, that's where you had another caller who was talking about that money should be based upon love, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if you were to look at fiat as if a nation has an educated population without currency, it's got a whole bunch of educated people, but they don't have enough capital to get anything done. And so with their cleverness, they create a method of exchange. And so that would be a system where your reputation would be your means of exchange. If you do a good job at plumbing, if you do a good job at talk show hosts, if you do a good job at shoe shining, at making sure that the books are balanced, whatever, your reputation is your means of exchange. And quite often, and this is coming up with the Bitcoin, it's coming up with the basic system of money. If a thief steals a vast amount of money, he basically is able to steal the reputations of people who were hard workers, and they put it in a bank, and then that bank got robbed. Is the reputation of all of the people lost because a bank robber comes in and steals the bank? Nowadays, we have an opportunity to get into a reputation economy, and that's with climate change, and that's with COVID, and that's with a number of these crises, that if a person provides steady leadership during a crisis, they're basically setting up their reputation for the future. And so it comes to that issue of whether it's a love economy, you know, some sort of a thing where if you're a good neighbor, your actions are going to be basically giving stability to the neighborhood. And that, in a crisis especially, becomes a real stability. I hear the music. The last thing I was going to raise, you were talking about Trump, and he knew that he was going to lose.
Mm-hmm.
In the first episodes of the January 6th thing, they said September of 2020. But if you study Ginny Thomas's emails with the Council of National Policy...
We're out of time. I'm sorry.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Call 202-808-9925.
I really wanted to hear the last half of that sentence, too. We'll be back. It's 27 minutes past the hour.
You watch the news. Be prepared to pay more taxes. Then, if you owe back taxes or haven't filed in a few years, get ready. The IRS, the largest collection agency in the world, will be coming after you. With the power to collect taxes by any means they want to. Hey, they can freeze your bank account, your passport, even padlock your business. Oh, good times. Look, if the IRS claims you owe them $5,000 or more in back taxes and they're coming after you, don't panic. Call my friends at Get a Tax Lawyer first. Their job is to negotiate with the IRS and save you money. They're experts at it. That's all they do. And you can trust them. In some cases, they have reduced a $50,000 tax bill to less than $1,000.
Light the lamp.
All the way down, he scores! A 200-foot empty net goal for the captain.
And defend the ice.
Driving in, centering pass. Oh, great sliding left pad save.
This is America's college hockey capital.
Fire one towards the net and scores.
This is your radio home for Wisconsin Badger hockey.
Right here on WFHR, locally grown radio, your home for Wisconsin sports.
If you've been listening, you know you can get your free credit report at annualcreditreport.com. But how do you use it? Paying attention to key pieces of information on the report, including your personal information, open credit accounts, and credit inquiries can help you not only understand your credit standing and catch any errors, but regularly checking your credit report may also help you identify potential fraud or identity theft. Everyone is entitled to a free credit report from each of the three main credit bureaus once every 12 months. Yet only one in three Wisconsin adults actually obtain the report each year. An easy way to remember to check your report is to simply mark your calendar. Picking dates like February 2nd or 2-2 make it even easier to remember. Go to annualcreditreport.com to get started with your free credit report, and don't forget to keep listening for more tips. This message has been brought to you by the United Way of Southwood and Adams County's Financial Stability Coalition.
Parents make a lot of promises to their kids. We promise to be there every step of the way, especially on those wobbly first steps. We promise to always keep them safe. I mean, nothing's more important to us than that. And now, all kids 6 months and older can get a COVID vaccine. So we've got another way to keep that promise.
We can do this. Find vaccines near you at vaccines.gov. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
The Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council present the story of Cynthia and Ed.
My mother was always very active and independent, and she was familiar with her neighborhood. But one day, out of the blue, she stopped at the stop sign for much longer than usual. And she didn't know whether she should go forward or turn or just stay at the stop sign. She wasn't even really sure where she was at. She was very concerned. It was very unsettling for her.
It's important for you to talk to someone about it, to bring the family in on it. I felt so much better after my son told me, "Mom, I don't want you to worry or be afraid. I'll be there for you and we'll figure it out."
When something feels different, it could be Alzheimer's. Now is the time to talk. Visit alz.org/ourstories to learn more. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
What's your favorite thing about a good movie? What makes the perfect song? And what's it about the first lines of a book that will snatch our attention? If these questions intrigued your artsy interest, you don't want to miss Director's Cut on WFHR every Sunday night from 8 to 9. Your WFHR program director, James, and head of production, Seth, will be diving into the local arts and entertainment, hot topic movies, hidden gems, and more. Audience feedback and requests are encouraged for this fun and open conversation about art in all its forms. It's art supporting artists, in their own words.
Hi, I'm EJ Williams. Each year, millions of animals are abandoned, and more than a million are euthanized before they can be rescued. Organizations like American Humane are working to harness the healing power of the human-animal bond, as animals can be trained as life-saving service and therapy dogs to help veterans, the elderly, and children with special needs to overcome the obstacles of everyday life. To find out how you can help give animals and the people they help a new leash on life, please visit AmericanHumane.org.
From the hometown of NASCAR's Dick Trickle, locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM, your news talk and sports station.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio, WFHR. Snow likely today, otherwise cloudy. Highs level off around 32, northerly winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Chance for snow again tonight, lows level off around 15, cloudy skies expected. High temperatures reach up to 23, tomorrow a blend of clouds and sun. About an inch of snow today. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently it's 30.
An imagination for the whole family, where stories come to life. And it's closer than you think. Ready to plan your next visit? Make the forest part of your story today at a local park near you. Or find one at discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the United States Forest Service and the Ad Council.
My Alzheimer's diagnosis was hard to take,
but early detection allowed us to take control of the situation. Together.
Talk to your family about seeing a doctor. Go to alz.org/time to talk. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
Share the Tom Hartman program with your friends. We're available on SiriusXM, Free Speech TV, Pacifica, commercial stations nationwide, YouTube, Twitter, Facebook, on the Tom Hartman app, and you can even tell your smart speaker to listen to the Tom Hartman program. Remember the last time you had two great nights sleep in a row?
Still thinking? I've been sleeping better than I have in years thanks to my Cozy Earth sheets, the softest, coziest sheets ever. Cozy Earth was founded to help transform lives by offering the softest, most luxurious, and responsibly sourced bedding in the world. 13 years, over 5,000 five-star reviews later, they've never wavered on that promise. That's one reason why Cozy Earth is the brand that has made Oprah's favorite things list 5 years in a row. Another is their luxury materials, including the finest premium viscose from highly sustainable bamboo. Cozy Earth bedding is super soft, lightweight, and temperature regulating, so you sleep more comfortably year-round. Whether it's their luxury sheets, loungewear and pajamas, or new bath collection, you'll love shopping at Cozy Earth. And be sure to check out their limited edition bamboo bedding collection. Plus, every bedding item comes in a beautiful reusable canvas tote. So get cozy now. I can get you 35% off on Cozy Earth. Just go to CozyEarth.com, enter my promo code Tom, T-H-O-M, at checkout, and you will save 35%. That's CozyEarth.com, promo code Tom, T-H-O-M, CozyEarth.com. Welcome back. 35 minutes past the hour and picking up your call. Oh, by the way, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, this, you know, breaking news. She just said that she is open to, remember earlier I said that if the Democrats cut a deal with the Republicans, it won't be for specific legislation, it will be for process. That's exactly what she just said. She said, hey, if we could get some chairs, in other words, if they can agree on a compromise candidate, the Republicans and the Democrats, and presumably that compromise candidate would be a Republican, and in exchange for that, the Democrats can get to chair a couple of committees in the House. And the other thing that she mentioned, and again, I had mentioned this earlier too, is a promise not to blow up our country by refusing to raise the debt ceiling, that she could go along. She could vote for a Republican for House of Representatives. And she has been playing a surprisingly high-profile role recently in some of these apparent negotiations, are apparently playing this role. I mean, you know, just from all the indications we have. So, another interesting thing. All right, picking up your calls, George in Chicago. Hey, George, what's up?
Well, Happy New Year to you and Louise and your family and everybody in the Tom Hartman organization.
Thank you, George. Back at you.
You're welcome. Thank you, and hope it turns out to be a good year for all of us.
Yeah, me too.
One quick comment before I get to what I called about when you mentioned earlier about John Kennedy confronting Khrushchev or issuing an ultimatum or drawing a line in the sand, whatever it was. That was before anybody in the American political or military establishment knew that the Russians had snuck 50 or 60 tactical nuclear weapons into Cuba. And if Kennedy had listened to General Curtis Boom Boom LeMay and Maxwell Taylor and others and went with their plan to invade Cuba with 250,000 American troops, they would have turned the Caribbean into a boiling lake of dead Americans.
Yeah, you're right.
And that would have required a nuclear response on our part. Every Russian ship at sea would have been sunk. We would have hit Cuba with nuclear weapons, and war would have started in Europe. So we all owe a lot to John Kennedy. His instincts were correct.
Yep, you're absolutely right.
But you've been talking about currency matters today, and this is something that has interested me and puzzled me for quite some time. Every piece or item of American currency bears the phrase, "This note is legal tender for all debts, public and private." I'm holding a $10 Federal Reserve note in my hand. Mm-hmm. And I started noticing maybe as long as 15 or 20 years ago that you would see businesses who would say, "We don't accept any bills over $20. And I would ask them, "Do you believe what it says on this bill? If I had a 50 and you're not going to let me pay for my dinner with it? No, you'll have to go elsewhere." And now I got an email a couple of days ago from a restaurant chain in Chicago that I patronize, and I'm on their loyalty points list, that in their drive-ups they will no longer be accepting cash, only credit cards. Now, we all know that the cashless economy is well on its way and is never going to go away, but this is a great benefit to law enforcement and corporations because they get all this information about every kind of spending you do, and it all goes into the great computer, and it's all interchanged from one to another.
Right.
But if you're just an average or low-income person who wants to live your own life, mind your own business, be frugal and pay cash, you're screwed. So does this legend on our bills, does it mean anything? Why doesn't the Federal Reserve or the Treasury or the Justice Department enforce this and make businesses take cash?
This very question was a minor furor in the late 1990s on the right. And Limbaugh, in fact, was talking about it, which is why I remember it. And it had to do with somebody who had sued, as I recall, I mean, again, this is almost 30 years ago, somebody who had sued a store because they, for exactly what you're talking about, they wouldn't take cash or they wouldn't take a large bill. And basically, the government refused to defend that position. They refused to prosecute the store. And so, you know, stores get away with it. Technically, it's illegal. Now, you know, if the currency says it's legal tender, then and you're going to engage in commerce and you're licensed to do business, then you've got to accept it, to the best of my knowledge. But the reality is not quite there. With regard to the cashless society, one of the Scandinavian countries, and I just saw this yesterday, I think, in the Financial Times, has now achieved a 100% cashless economy. Nobody takes cash any longer in that country. I don't recall if it was Finland or Sweden. It was one of the Scandinavian countries. And the consequence of that is that the black market economy, the criminal underground, the local mafia, is on the verge of being put out of business. Because they were the cash business, and they would run legitimate businesses in order to launder their money. And, you know, they can't do any of that anymore. I get it that there's a total loss of privacy, that the corporations and government, presumably, if they wanted to buy the information from the corporations, can figure out absolutely everything you've done. But if the price of that, I mean, this is the trade-off that society has to debate, is it worth losing a certain level of privacy in exchange for, you know, eliminating organized crime, essentially, from your society?
That's a good point. But as you mentioned earlier, very sophisticated organized criminals are using cryptocurrency. Bitcoin. And there's also the dark web, where all these kinds of underhanded evil transactions go on. So maybe becoming cashless isn't going to get rid of all of it.
No, it won't. And the article noted that as a caveat. But in terms of the retail organized, you know, criminal activity, it's taken a big hit. So, you know, it's a very interesting time, George, with the cryptocurrency, with the cashless society. And I agree with you. You know, the banks love it because they get to make a buck off basically everything that happens, which raises, you know, for Americans, raises the issue of should we take Bernie Sanders' advice and allow the post office to go into the no-fee banking business so that people who can't, you know, right now don't have enough money to open a checking account or have a debit card will be able to do that through the post office. Because banks don't want to service people who don't make a lot of money, because it's just, you know, there's no money to be made on those people unless, you know, you get a lot of overdraft fees and things like that. And even then, it becomes real problematic. So it's a large
topic. Well, you know, that's one of,
simple answer.
One of the services that's common in a lot of our peer countries where they have postal banks.
Yep.
But not here.
Yeah, when I lived in Germany in the 80s, I used to go to the post office to cash my checks. But Germany no longer does that, by the way. I'm pretty sure they stopped. Now it's all banks. That was back in the 80s. But good point. George, thank you for the call and thoughtful conversation. Grace in Midlothian, Virginia. Hey, Grace, what's on your mind today?
Hi, Tom. Thanks for taking my call. I'm just commenting the speakership issue here.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to say that the Democrats should not be bending over for a process that AOC has suggested, because we have 212 members. Why don't we ask certain centrist Republicans to join us, and in return, we give them some, you know, ranking member or chairman, and we get to control the agenda, because
mm-hmm.
we shouldn't We shouldn't trust any Republican at all, really. You, how many times have they lied and say one thing? Look at Mitch McConnell. You know, we shouldn't trust any of them. If they let George Santos to, you know, be sworn in, why would we trust any of them or
well,
anything?
We have had a two-party system in the United States in reality since the John Adams administration, since 1796. And in a big way since the election of Thomas Jefferson in 1800. And to the best of my knowledge, I could be wrong on this, but I'm pretty sure I'm not. In that entire time, there and the House of Representatives has operated pretty much the same now as it always had, you know, all the way back to that era. During that entire time, no House has ever been, there has never been a speaker who represented the party in the minority. I don't think it's possible that the Democrats could convince the Republicans that they should go along with a Democratic speaker, even one Republican. It would be political suicide for any one Republican to go along with that. What the Democrats might be able to do is negotiate with the Republicans to accept a speaker, even Kevin McCarthy, who is willing to give in on a couple of key issues, like give some key committee positions to Democrats, or guarantee that all the committees will be 50-50 rather than one. Right now, the way it's probably going to be, if Kevin McCarthy had been able to become Speaker, the House rules package that he was proposing was that every committee would have one more Republican than Democrat on it, so there would always be Republican majority. Instead, make them 50-50, which would give the Democrats the power to block committees from doing things that Democrats might object to. That's pretty powerful stuff. I mean, there's some real power negotiations that can be had. It's not going to happen though until McCarthy or the Republicans in general have reached a point of essentially desperation. You know, it's clear to McCarthy that his own party is not going to go along with him, and it's clear to everybody in the party that as long as these right-wing crazies, you know, the Boberts and Gateses of the world continue to sabotage their efforts, they're not going to win. And so, you know, they're going to have to figure out how to go around that, the so-called Freedom Caucus. I don't know how it's going to play out.
I take your note, but I just thought that if we can trust them, that's the thing. If the Democrats say, okay, all right, well, we voted for you, let's say McCarthy, mm-hmm. and then he go back on his promise. And what do we do?
Well, it wouldn't be the first time he's done that. But it would probably be the last time he'd get away with it. I don't think that the Democrats are going
to... But that's too late then, isn't it? Then they have the speaker, they control the agenda, and you get nothing back.
It might be, but that could also be political suicide. I mean, keep in mind, every member of the House is up for election every 2 years. And there's an election coming in another 23 months. Or 22 months, and the Republicans are not unaware of that and how slim their majority is. So, I don't know. We'll see. Grace, thank you. Thank you for the call.
You're listening to Tom Hartman. Visit TomHartman.com for audio and video archives.
So, Kevin McCarthy lost another vote. Where is this going? Nobody knows. We'll be right back with your calls.
If you're trying to quit drinking or doing too many drugs, listen to me. You don't know me and we'll never meet. I had a problem like you once. I drank and used to party a little too much till it got out of control and almost ruined my life. I realized I needed help to fix my problem before it totally destroyed me. If you've tried to fix your drinking and drug problem and you know you can't do it alone, you need to call the National Treatment Advisors. They'll immerse you into a 30-day program to replace your old habits with new habits and totally change your life. And if you have PPO private health insurance, the entire program may be covered. Fix your problem right now before it gets any worse. Get clean. Call now and learn more. 877-247-1581. 877-247-1581. 877-247-1581.
It is one of the most powerful books you'll ever read, full of the wisdom of ancient cultures and the directed hope of modern thinkers. The Last Hours of Ancient Sunlight, The Fate of the World and What We Can Do Before It's Too Late by Tom Hartman. Discover how we're made of sunlight and what this has to do with the impact of fossil fuels on civilization. Read about the coming new ice age and what must be done soon. Understand how ancient cultures valued community and cooperation and what we can learn from them. Get in touch with the secret of enough, the meaning of wealth, and the wealth of security. The Last Hours of Ancient Sunlight helps us understand and heal our relationship to the world, to each other, and to our natural resources. We have much to learn and even more to remember. Here is your guide, The Last Hours of Ancient Sunlight, The Fate of the World and What We Can Do Before It's Too Late by Tom Hartman, in bookstores everywhere.
The American middle class is on its deathbed. Ordinary folks who put in a solid day's work can no longer afford to buy a house, send their kids to college, or even get sick. If you're not a CEO, you're probably screwed. In his latest book, Screwed, The Undeclared War Against the Middle Class and What We Can Do About It by Tom Hartman, Air America host Tom Hartman shows how the middle class, a product of democracy that was so carefully put together by our country's founding fathers, has been systematically dismantled over the past quarter century and, under the guise of freeing the market, replaced by an anti-democratic system designed to line the pockets of the super rich and corporations. Hartman shows that it's not too late to return to the America our founders envisioned. Democracy requires a fair playing field. It will survive only if we the people stand up, speak out, and reclaim our democracy. To find out more about Tom's book tour, or to get an audio sneak peek of Screwed, The Undeclared War Against the Middle Class and What We Can Do About It, visit TomHartman.com. Get Screwed by Tom Hartman. Available in all fine bookstores now.
Hey, Tom Hartman here. In my new book, Threshold, The Crisis of Western Culture, I'm looking at the deteriorating state of our planet, where the dynamics of environmental, economic, and population change are boiling over the limits within which society can function. I'll be busting the myths and ideologies of religious fundamentalism, capitalism run amok, male domination and hierarchy, and militarism that are draining our world of its natural and human resources and engendering the suffering of millions for the benefit of a few. Threshold examines cultures that have thrived from the mother city of Corral, Peru to modern Denmark, and targets five areas of policy, national, religious, economic, corporate, and environmental, for specific and immediate reform. Radical in scope and boldness, but simple in its common sense logic, my book Threshold illustrates the mistakes we have made as a culture, as a country, and as individuals, and provides the inspiration and motivation that you're looking for to build a better, more sustainable world for all. It's available in fine bookstores everywhere. Threshold.
Help support Progressive Radio. If you're listening to us on a commercial station, call their advertisers and let them know you're listening. If you're listening to us on Pacifica, one of our many nonprofit stations, please support them when they do their fundraising drives. Thanks for supporting Progressive Talk Radio and tag you're it.
Artificial preservatives? Cardboard-like fillers? Mystery meat meal? I don't want my dogs eating any of that. But many of your commercial dog foods are packed with these ingredients, which have been linked to health issues that can negatively affect your dog's lifespan. That's why I'm so glad that Louise found Nature's Blend. It's a premium freeze-dried raw dog food from Dr. Marty, a renowned veterinarian who's worked with celebrities and countless dog parents to support the health and happiness of their dogs. It has zero artificial preservatives, fillers, meat byproduct meal, or any of those junk food ingredients. Instead, it contains premium cuts of meat, omega-3 rich seeds, and antioxidant-rich vegetables and fruit. It's designed to support your dog's youthful vitality, easy digestion, and healthy skin to help them experience a happy, active, full life at any age. For a limited time, I can get you 54% off Nature's Blend and a free pack of premium dog treats. Go to drmartypets.com/Tom, drmartypets.com/THOM, or text Tom to 511-511. Text Tom to 511-511. Message and data rates may apply. May receive up to one additional text. Text STOP to opt out. Welcome back. Picking up your calls here, Nikki in Chicago. Hey, Nikki, what's on your mind today?
Hey, Tom. You were talking about the deficit previously that hadn't been paid off since 1823 or something.
Yeah, in the 1830s.
My question for you is, what was the measure that Clinton and Gore, and actually I think historically Democrats across the board, is it the debt ceiling that they lower, or is it something that they did during the presidency of Bill Clinton brought down the debt.
Yeah,
but it's different from the
Jimmy Carter and Bill Clinton, to the best of my knowledge, Obama may have also, were the only presidents since the Reagan administration, and maybe even going back way before that, to have presented balanced budgets. And in fact, they had one of Clinton's budgets was a surplus budget. So it actually reduced the national debt. That's how you reduce the national debt. You bring in more on taxes than you spend on everything you spend money on. And
isn't that different from the deficit?
Well, that is the deficit. The deficit is the annual difference between what you bring in and what you spend out. And if the deficit is negative, it adds to the national debt, which is the accumulation of all the deficits. And if the balance between what you bring in and what you spend is positive, then it reduces the national debt. And Clinton reduced the national debt. I remember that clearly. I know that Jimmy Carter proposed a balanced budget that would have reduced the national debt. I don't recall if it passed that way or not. I'd have to go back and look. And I believe that Obama proposed a balanced budget at least once, and I don't recall if it passed or not either. The one I'm sure of is Clinton. I remember that. I remember when it happened, thinking, oh, my God.
I think you're right about Jimmy Carter, because I remember he did a 10% cut to defense spending, and it had a huge effect on the economy.
That might have been it. Yeah. I don't remember that the details of that era that well, but yep. So Nikki, thank you for the call. Happy New Year. William in Bremerton, Washington. William, we have less than a minute. You got a quick one? William? Okay, Alfredo in Mountain View, California. We have a lot less than a minute. You got a quick one?
Yeah, Tom, when Trump was president, he increased taxes on the middle class and the poor and gave huge tax breaks to the billionaires.
That's right.
Why is it that the Democrats didn't repeal the Trump tax? That's something that I'm always baffled about, and I'll take my answer off the air.
It is self-repealing, is my understanding. It was passed through reconciliation, which means it can't last more than 10 years. And Trump had also built into it that the tax cuts on average working people start expiring this year. So this year, if you're making under a couple hundred thousand dollars a year, your taxes will go up as a result of that law that Trump passed. The Democrats haven't been able to do anything about that. I don't know. I don't have an easier glib answer for you on that one. I'm sorry, Alfredo. Thanks so much for being with us today. We'll be back tomorrow. Same bat time, same bat channel. In the meantime, don't forget, democracy is not a spectator sport. Never was, wasn't intended to be. Demos means people. That's you and me, right? So get out there, get active, tag, you're it. We'll see you tomorrow. Have a great afternoon.
You've been listening to Tom Hartman. For audio and video archives, visit tomhartman.com.
Explore the mighty Columbia and Snake Rivers with American Cruise Lines. Visit the scenic landscapes of stunning Multnomah Falls and Mount St. Helens. Retrace the historic steps of explorers Lewis and Clark as you cruise the Columbia River Gorge aboard the newest fleet of American riverboats. Relax in your private balcony while the crew provides you with the highest level of personalized service, all waiting for you to experience. Request your free cruise guide today at AmericanCruiseLines.com. That's AmericanCruiseLines.com. Every weekday, I write a new original article about one of the critical issues of our day and publish it on our website, HartmanReport.com. I write these entirely by myself, so you're getting my unvarnished thoughts on national and world events. There's no advertising, and you can get them every single weekday in your email at no charge whatsoever. Or just read them for free with no...
Victor deployed for the first time to Afghanistan in 2003. At 4 in the morning, my phone rang. They said, I regret to inform you that your husband was wounded in action. Victor sustained a moderate traumatic brain injury. I was doing school full-time, and I was also then caring for Victor. One of the most important elements of caregiving is taking care of yourself. I just didn't want to forget that I also had goals and that I also had a life. what I did is I challenged Victor to meet me halfway. There are almost 6 million military and veteran caregivers across the nation. We have our own journey, and we can fulfill that journey at the same time that we are helping our loved one.
Visit aarp.org/caregiving for a free military veteran's guide to navigate your caregiving journey and better care for your loved one and yourself. Brought to you by AARP
WFHR Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.